Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, we are laughing this morning. Good morning. Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Umat here today. Dr. Mixon is here in the studio, and I think Dr. Umat and I are a little worried because he has, Dr. Mixon has brought in a very large mason jar filled with a, pumpkin-colored liquid. And I wouldn't normally be worried, but he brought in three glasses. There are three of us in the studio. So
that's right.
Are we going to be guinea pigs, Dr.
Mixon? He's sharing.
I'm sharing.
Okay.
Actually, this is something that I am
considering
as a new supplement.
Okay. We're there.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So it strikes me. Actually struck my company president, Lynn.
Uh-huh.
But the problem with supplements is you're taking pills or something like, and it's not all that pleasant. And so wouldn't it be better to have supplements that people wanted to take? That instead of having to take it because it's, you know, you got to swallow this fistful of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was something you really and truly wanted to have in the mornings.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Always.
You're talking our language.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question before us was, how do we design supplements that taste good and feel rewarding and yet also give you a benefit you can measure.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Yes. Okay. We're
well, I showed
listening.
You, Samira, I showed you earlier this week a paper on 54-year-old women and how both blood flow to their brain declines over the course of the next year or so due to menopause and the hormone changes, and how also some cognitive skills are declining.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a supplement that actually reversed that and kept their blood flow to their brain and improved their cognitive skills. Well, and there's a second chemical that does that job also, but in a different manner, raises acetylcholine levels in the brain.
Cool.
And so the question was, how do we make them taste good?
Ooh. And you figured it out.
And I think this may be the answer.
Oh, okay. You put coffee in it?
No, there's no coffee in it.
Is there chocolate?
You could put coffee. No, we'll give it a try. This is a Thai tea.
Oh.
It's a rage these days, isn't it?
Okay, Thai tea.
This is a Thai tea.
Is it the same as bubble tea? Or
no.
Is bubble tea
I don't
rage?
See bubbles.
I think it's better. There's no bubbles in it. But
okay.
it's got all of the chemicals that actually increase people's brain function after 50.
All right. Well, why didn't you give it to us 10 minutes before the radio show?
Because I got here.
He wants to watch our cognitive.
I'm just going to do this.
He's shaking this up quite
I'm
often.
Just impressed that he can still do that.
I know.
Hey, listen, I changed my exercise routine this week.
Oh, you did?
Oh.
Yeah. I kicked my push-ups up to 200 a day.
Okay.
Wow.
So. Oh, my God, Jerry.
So. Is that in one sit?
I do 50 in the morning when I shave.
Okay.
And then I do 40 three times during the day. And then I do 30 at bedtime.
Okay.
Just for fun.
200 a day.
Well, there you
go. Just for fun.
Whoa.
Just for fun.
Okay.
So.
Okay. For everybody else who cannot do that, please start where you are at.
There we go.
Every little bit helps.
That's right.
There we go.
It does, but
and that's why when Dr. Mixon
I just have
was
more
shaking.
Little bits than other people.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, and that's why when Dr. Mixon was shaking up that supplement in the jar, nothing was jiggling.
That's right.
Just what was in the jar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, you've been talking to us and even the doctor's meeting this mm-hmm. week about muscle and the myokines that it releases and how it's so important to build muscle.
Yeah.
And a cardiovascular surgeon published an article in the European Journal this week about how many steps are needed to reduce risk for mortality. And literally even 500 steps will reduce risk for mortality by 7%.
Wow.
That's right. But you get about 90% of the benefit you're going to get from walking at 7,500 steps.
Okay.
So it's not really the 10,000.
Yes.
7,500 gives you 90% of the benefit. Now, if you can go to 10,000, that gets you up to the full amount of the benefit. But it's a diminishing return. Okay.
So, okay.
So 8,000 gets a little better than 7,500, 8,500, 9, etc. You're going to get all the benefit you can get from walking at 10,000 steps. So,
but doing less is also fine. You don't
sure.
have to kind of
yes.
say, oh, my God, I have to do 10,000. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's almost bedtime.
Just
I better
whatever,
go do it quick.
Yeah, yeah, whatever you can do will help.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But being an obsessive overachiever, I normally do 15 to 20.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you do. And that's before breakfast. No.
No, no, no.
Almost, though. Oh, well, we've got lots to talk about. Leading Edge Medicine is here, and we are live in the studio with Dr. Samira Umat. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we'll find out what's going on, maybe talk about some of those things making news in just a moment. But let me give you the phone number so you can call and be one of the first on the line. Lines are open for you. For Leading Edge Medicine, give us a call with your questions. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. All right. Have you seen the news with Hawaii?
I know. That yes. was heartbreaking.
Very sad.
Oh, my gosh. That was so yeah. tragic.
It is. And, of course, that's the old Hawaiian capital,
yes.
The monarchy.
Mm-hmm. And the banyan tree that was there in the
that's
center.
That's a massive
town.
Banyan tree, too.
Oh, yes.
Ivory has played around that banyan tree hours
I've seen
and
it
hours.
Too, yeah.
Yes, in Lahaina. And, you know, I've seen all the devastation. I've heard now that at least 80 are dead with the wildfires. But, you know, I don't know if I ever really knew what caused them.
They don't know.
Biggest one. Oh, they don't know. Okay,
no,
it's the biggest
yet.
One in history.
They're still investigating.
Okay.
You know,
trying to find
there were
out.
Three fires on the island and one just outside of Lahaina. Yeah, they're looking at for causes because the weather was clear. There was no lightnings, no evidence of storm, you know, that could have been that trigger. So obviously the suspicion is, were they set?
Oh, boy.
You know, and
wow.
if some crazy arsonist has now killed over 80 people. About to hang him up by his thumbs and let the families of the deceased have their way with him until he dies. But that's,
wow.
I'm a bit of a brood about that sort of thing.
Yes.
So.
Wow.
Tragic.
You know, when we hear about tragedies around the world, so many of us have not been to those places where there's an earthquake, where there's a flood. But Hawaii is one of those places that so many people have visited.
Especially here. Yeah,
especially. And Maui is the favorite
yeah.
place
yeah.
to go. So
that's
a lot
where we
of,
got married, actually.
Oh, so many people have such beautiful memories.
Maui.
Yes. We renewed vows there. And, oh, you just think of that.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about the people, the families and the folks there in Hawaii, and hopefully they'll figure out what's going on
hopefully.
With that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yes. What else making news? Anything medical that's making news?
Not a whole lot, actually. It's a fairly quiet week. I mean, there's always the hopeful breakthroughs, you know,
mm-hmm.
new compounds, new stuff that they think mm-hmm. is going to cure this, that, or the other.
Yeah, we love those stories.
Yeah, but, you know, those are almost always the research people that are involved that are out ahead of the science and the FDA.
Okay.
You know, they've had a study. It's on a mouse or a cell culture or something, and they think this could do all these wonderful things. Well, it could, but
they got to wait and find out.
They usually don't.
Okay. So, all right. Well, we're waiting for that first call this morning. 800-465-8770. And, oh, look, there it is. Okay. You want to take a call? Should we start off the day with a phone call?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yep. And if you'd like to get through quickly, 800-465-8770. Lynn, good morning. You're our first caller.
Hello, Lynn.
Hi there.
Oh, have that special honor. Hey,
yes.
I have a question about magnesium. I take 2,000 milligrams of magnesium at night before bed, and it's kind of been brought to my attention that that might be too much, and I'm wondering about that.
Okay.
Okay.
It's almost impossible to overdose on magnesium.
Oh, okay.
And the reason is simply that it's not absorbed well from your gut. And so you usually get raging diarrhea long before you get so much in your bloodstream that it's going to harm you. So it's almost a self-limiting sort of compound.
Okay.
You know, about the only way to really get a dangerous overdose of magnesium is to take it intravenously.
Oh, okay. So it's 2,000 milligrams. What was that, Lynn?
Well, even if you get it subdermally, like Epsom salt, you know, soaked in Epsom salt and stuff like that, you still can't get too much?
No, again, you're going to get some modest amount through the skin. But that's not subdermal, that is dermal. And, you know, soaking in Epsom salts kind of makes your muscles relax, especially if the water is nice and hot.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never read of anyone being harmed from that. So, I guess in theory it could happen to somebody somewhere, but I've never actually read about it. Have you?
No, I haven't, but I'm just surprised that she can tolerate 2,000 milligrams without getting diarrhea.
Yeah.
Ah.
I mean,
before bed.
I'd have trouble getting out of the bathroom if I was taking that much.
Yeah.
No, I don't have that problem. But can it have an effect on your blood pressure?
Yes, it'll lower your blood pressure.
Okay.
Magnesium relaxes muscle, all muscles, striated muscle. That's why it's so relaxing to your skeletal muscle, you know, when you're tired, back and arms and legs. But it also relaxes the smooth muscle in your blood vessels. And by relaxing smooth muscle, the vessels get bigger and the blood flows through at lower pressure.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering my questions. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Very good, Lynn. Thank you for your call. Thank you for being the first one up and at 'em.
Uh-huh.
Oh. The phone number to get through to Leading Edge Medicine this morning, 800-465-8770. And we're going to go to Graham. Steve is there. Steve, you're wanting to talk about supplements. Is that right?
That's right. I spoke to Dr. Mixon a couple of weeks ago, and he encouraged me to go down to the clinic, and I did. And I was told there would be a number of supplements that would be recommended, and I'm already taking some of the supplements that you have from your clinic. The B compound, the C and the D. I'm wondering, I've got a whole bunch of other supplements that I've got from other sources. I'm just wondering how much of these supplements are really, you know, am I overdoing it with all the things that I take?
Of course, I don't know what you're taking, so that's hard to tell you if you're overdoing.
Everything from A to Z.
All right. Okay, that's what we call the alphabet supplement.
Right, that's the alphabet supplement, yes.
All right. And that's a common thing. People end up taking whatever they've heard about from their friends, or they read a magazine article, and they start off taking this, and then they add that, and then they add some more of something else, and before you know it, they're taking 42 things and spending $600 a month.
And my friend is selling this, so I'm going to try this and support hers. So.
Yeah.
that's my life story.
Yeah. And so that's why I have my doctors prescribe supplements just like we do medications. You know, from my standpoint, if it actually alters the way your body functions, I consider it a drug. Okay. I'm less concerned with what the politicians at the FDA decide as a drug. If it alters the way your body functions, you know, you're taking a medication, a drug of some sort. And so that's one of the reasons that for our patients, our doctors actually prescribe your supplements as well as your prescription stuff. So that we want you to have what you need. We don't want you to have a lot of stuff you don't need.
I've been thinking about that as I open up my medicine chest and I look at all these supplements and I'm saying, am I doing any real good for myself?
Yeah. You know, when
I'm asking those questions, I'm hoping that the panel, by the way, I contributed to your profit margin. Well, you suggested that I do that last time we talked, so I did.
That's right.
Yes.
Good.
So I'm waiting for the panel results, but I'm hoping the panel will be more specific and I can stop taking so many things that I don't need and make sure that I'm taking the things that I do.
Mm. Yeah, well, one thing to do, too, is when you've got the panel, you're going to come in and you're going to sit down with the doc. Load up all your supplements in a great big paper bag and bring it in with you. And let the doctor actually see what you're taking. And, you know, they will often sort through it and say, keep, dump, 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 keep, dump, keep, dump, you know. And you'll probably go home with fewer than you left, than you came with.
That's probably not a bad thing either. I will do that. I actually brought the bag of supplements in because on your questionnaires, asked me to write them all down, and with my penmanship, no one would be able to figure out what I was thinking anyway.
So you're a wannabe doctor, huh?
I'm working on my doctorate of scribble.
Yes. Well, you know, that's the thing in medical school is your senior year, you have to write a 2-page essay longhand, and if they can read it, you fail.
Uh-oh. Yes.
And you're never graded on it because no one can read it, right?
You
that's
got
right.
It. Absolutely.
Good point,
okay.
Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, doctor, for all you've done to help me. I really am appreciative of it, and I'm looking forward to becoming more aged and living longer and better.
Well, good. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Very good, Steve. Oh, we're taking your calls today live in the studio. Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon at 800-465-8770. We're back with Adriana in just a moment. Stay right there.
Now the race is on and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache going to the inside. My tears are holding back there, but I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. Two love scratch for another sake. The race is on and it looks like heartache. And the winner loses all.
Leading Edge Medicine here, Saturday morning, beautiful day in the Seattle area. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And during the break, we got to sample Dr. Mixon's Thai tea supplement. You haven't come up with a name yet with all sorts things in it.
We're still playing with the constituents and so on. So
we liked it. I liked it. It was good.
It was
drink that in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, you know, once more, we're looking for ways to make supplementation more pleasant and effective.
You mean an IV is not good enough for you?
IV is not good enough.
No. And you know what? I noticed it. You know, our first question was, oh, is it coffee? Is it chocolate? No, it was Thai tea flavored, and it wasn't chalky. And usually that's the first thing you're like, okay, it's good for me.
It was very tasty.
This was good.
Yeah. The only thing that might make that chalky would be the creatine.
Ah, okay. And I didn't feel that way.
About 4 grams of creatine in it, but
very good. All right, so now I think Dr. Mixon's going to watch to see if we get smarter during the show today. So we'll be on the alert.
Well, he's smart enough to know that we are smart.
That's true. But if he starts making notes, if he starts making notes and doing then we'll need to look. All right. Leading Edge Medicine is here. 800-465-8770. How would you like to go to Texas right now? San Antonio.
Texas.
We have Adriana on the line.
Good morning, Adriana.
Good morning, y'all. Howdy. Adriana.
Hello. How are you?
We are good.
How can we help you this morning, ma'am?
Well, we were former patients, but then we moved down here. We're still getting our supplements. But now they've made the shingle shot, so we can afford to do it for two people.
Good.
And my question is, when should we take the flu shots, which we do every year, but sometimes I react a little too. And then when do we take the shingle shot, like afterwards or before or what? And timing difference.
Yeah. I'm not sure the timing makes much difference except psychologically. The shingle shot hurts.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. He's not hiding it.
Unlike the flu shot, which is pretty piddly. But the shingles, most people remember that. And since I would like you to get your flu shot every fall, I'd say don't do it with your shingles because that'll be an adversive experience.
Yeah.
Okay. They tie the two together emotionally.
And then you have to go in 1 month later for a second shot for the shingles.
Right.
And then you're done for how long?
Correct.
How long?
You know, most of us don't get a shingle shot till we're over 50.
Okay.
Because that's when shingles risk starts to rise. And
we're in our 70s.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so am I, but I got mine in my 60s.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's a good thing to do, but personally, I put it off into the middle of the year. I did it in the winter when I wasn't doing a whole lot. Picked a week where there wasn't much snow, so I wasn't going skiing.
Oh, because your arm, probably. Is that where the pain is?
I thought it would be sore.
Okay.
So, you know, just pick a time. Okay. But I do the flu shot for sure in the fall, and we are getting there. You know, next month, September, early October is a good time for the flu shot.
Okay.
And then as the weather turns cold, flu season usually hits in force. And then I'd probably, assuming you're having no symptoms, I'd go ahead and put off the shingles for a month or two after that.
Okay. Yeah. Because I tend to overreact to anything. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, ma'am. Take care.
Yeah, I'm impressed that, you know, you're starting to think about it.
Adriana. Yeah, that's good.
That's right. Adriana, what moved you down to San Antonio?
Well, we moved one of our kids down here, and we decided when we retired that we would live near one of our kids.
I see. Okay.
And I have some family down here also, but we couldn't afford to retire in Washington, and we loved it there, but.
Yeah, it is pricey up here. No, I agree. The biggest problem.
And we love it.
The biggest problem with Kirkland is people who work in Kirkland, you know, in the shops and stuff, can't afford to live here.
Yeah.
I know, and I'm sorry.
a teardown, a house you're going to buy and just rip it down, it's $1.5 million. Most of the country, $1.5 million buys you a mansion with tennis courts and swimming pools.
Yeah. And a savings account.
Hot cold running servants. And here, you know, it's a vacant lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Much different. It's very different here.
Very shocking, actually.
Yeah, I've
so
got friends that
we're happy we come to visit, but we can't stay.
and I understand. My biggest problem with Texas is the summers. It's just, you know.
Yeah, what's your temperature today?
Too beastly hot.
It's probably, I'm going to be 103 again today, and this is going several months. So, but this is highly unusual. We've never had this pattern before. So
yeah, it's never been that low before, right? Yeah. No.
No, I got friends that, you know, they have to get out early in the morning to do their exercise because by 8 or 9 o'clock, it's 85, 90 degrees already.
Can't go anywhere.
Not too hot.
Go to the gym because it's too hot to do our evening walks.
Well, and you should. But, you know, I love the political climate down there. Mm-hmm. I love the business climate down there. I would really like to have some clinics down there. But... And a winter home would be fine, but I couldn't tolerate the summers there.
Yeah, so. Have the subs work in the summer. And
there you go.
That's right.
Oh, Adriana, our San Antonio Rose, thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot, dear. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, San Antonio is the beautiful part.
Is it?
That's San Antonio. Oh.
I love the river walk.
Yes, the river walk.
I really enjoy the river walk. Uh-huh. And And of course, I'm a bit of an Alamo aficionado. Every time I go to San Antonio, I do another Alamo tour.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And do you remember the Alamo tour?
Well, I remember the Alamo tour.
Yes.
I've had enough of them now. They're kind of burned into my memory.
Wow. Yes. Yes. So. All right. Phones are ringing, and you can too. Get right through, just like we've already had three calls, 800-465-8770. This is the time to call. First thing on Leading Edge Medicine. Ken is on the line. Ken from Kirkland. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Oh, we're good.
Doing great. Doing great.
Hey, I just want to let you know my, you know, it, kind of the performance that LMC has had and in my life. I noticed, went out hiking a couple weeks ago and was going to go up and just do a exploratory hike because the weather was good, but it was deteriorating. And so I went up there and poked my nose around, and it wasn't much elevation gain, probably 3,500 feet or so. So I just kind of continued on and ended up doing this huge loop and got back. And I noticed the next day I didn't have any soreness, and the day after that, no soreness. Mm-hmm. So I would say that my hiking stamina, speed, cardiovascular output, all of that's better than what I remember from about 20 years ago when I got back into hiking for the first time. I attribute a lot of that to the advice I've gotten from Longevity and Dr. Brazel, and just wanted to give you guys kind of a compliment and some feedback that aside from the numbers, the actual performance or output of your folks shows. And having that kind of yardstick of what I was doing back in 2003 versus what I'm doing now, it was pretty stark. And anyway, thought I would mention that.
So you've been with us about 20 years then?
No, I've been with you about 2.5 years.
Two and a half. So you're just remembering from 20 years ago
how you
felt. Comparing
right.
What you're doing now.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Yeah, you know, the heavy huffing and puffing and then being really sore afterwards, and the speed and distance, elevation gain. And I kind of compared the more recent hike that I'm did a couple of weeks ago to
good.
Other things I'd done in 2003.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you, there's I've got one book coming out this fall, and I'm already planning the next one. And let me tell you what, because you might want to get in touch with Dr. Brazel and get an interview for that. We're going to be taking probably 10 or 12 patients, and we're going to get their story about what was going on in their life before they became patients, and then what brought them to longevity, and then we'll go through their therapy, what the doctors decided to do. We'll do it from both the patient standpoint and then the doctors, the science standpoint. And then we'll talk about how the patient's actual life has been impacted after, you know, since they've been a patient for a while. I figure if I do 25 pages per patient, 10 or 11 patients, so make a 250, 300 page book. So kind of give people some inspiration. You know, if you're at this point in your life, here's what could happen. So if you want to mention it to Dr. Brazel, maybe she'll get you on the list of folks that we interview.
Okay. All right. Well, all you right. guys have a great day.
Okay, take care.
Oh, thank you so much, Ken. What a wonderful surprise there. Yes. I love it when we hear those stories. Mm-hmm. And they just call to say, hey, you know what? What you're saying is working. It's true. I feel it. I see it. I do it every day. And Ken is a great example. And comparing now to 20 years ago. Wow, that's huge.
Yes.
Not even 5 years ago. Not even 10 years. But 20 years ago. He was 20 years younger. Mm-hmm. And he's feeling better today. Longevity Medical Clinics. We're going to tell you how you can come in just like Ken did 2.5 years ago and make that first step and start feeling better. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. My name is Lynette here along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. We were just talking to Ken from Kirkland who had just glowing reports and we love that. You know, we love it when he says, I was not feeling good. I was huffing and puffing. And now, what a difference he's been with us for 2.5 years, probably started feeling better, earlier than that. But we want to have you have the same success story and do what Ken did. And so many others have by making that phone call and taking advantage of the free health analysis appointment. Now, this might scare you a little bit. You're thinking, okay, what do I need to do? It's just a simple blood test, right, Dr. Umat?
Yes, really simple. I mean, it's just the tip of the iceberg. That first visit mm-hmm. is really just an introduction to what we can do for you. The second visit is when you pay a little bit and you get your blood draw, mm-hmm. but the meat of everything will come after you become a patient. That's yes. when you really find out what longevity can do for you.
Yeah, and you know, we've occasionally had somebody that, despite our trying very hard to make it clear yeah. what we do and don't do at their first visit, we have people who come in expecting to get prescriptions written and so on.
Yeah, no. Getting naked on the in-body or stripping down. Yeah. No. I mean, you don't do that.
You don't.
No.
Nor do you strip down when
no,
you're
a patient
either. Come on.
That's right.
Wishful thinking on your part, Lynette. Come on, relax, kid. So,
I honestly thought I had to get shorts and tank top down to my, yeah. Okay, so, but no, you don't.
All right. Okay. Well,
we want you to come in for that free health analysis. And come on in, not scary. It's just a great way for you to get to know us and what we can do for you. You can find out yeah. if you're at risk for things.
That's right. You know, that first visit gives us an idea of what your blood hemoglobin A1C level is, therefore risk for prediabetes. But not just that, it's everything else, you know, vascular status, heart disease, dementia risk, cancer risk. And then the in-body puts it in perspective because we look at your visceral fat versus muscle. And as you've heard us say time and time again, muscle is the currency of aging. Mm-hmm. The more working muscle you have, the healthier you are. And so we're looking to see how much muscle you have right now and how we will help you build muscle, because loss of muscle is normal aging. And when you go past a point, it becomes sarcopenia, and that's a medical diagnosis. And it is very common for the elderly to experience sarcopenia, and they don't even know that they're losing that much muscle.
Well, and one of the things that kind of misleads folks is they don't see that their arms and legs are skinnier because mm-hmm. it looks the same. But what's happening with aging is you're actually infiltrating fat into the muscle. So you have the muscle fibers and then you have strands of fat. So the bulk stays the same, but the muscle is weaker because there's fewer in the way of a real muscle fibers to contract.
Right.
And it's just being bulked up with fat. Even in thin people, mm-hmm. the fatty infiltration of the muscle
that's
part of
fat.
Aging.
Oh, the skinny fat.
Those
we
the
talk
skinny
about.
Fats.
That's
yeah.
right. So, you know, that's just an opportunity for us to tell you about us and what we can do. And we learn a little bit about you and your needs and where you're at. And then the next time you come back is when we review your labs. So you pay for those. It's a minimal amount for the amount of labs that we do, but there is a payment. And even after that review, you're not obliged to stay with us. It is after that review that you make up your mind whether you want to be a patient of ours or not. And if you do, then we start your prescriptions and your supplements, and start taking care of you.
Yes.
Yeah, but you have to decide you actually want to be a patient before we start writing prescriptions.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So,
very good. So come on in and make that first appointment. We call it the health analysis appointment. That's what you ask for when you call us at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go on our website, too, and pick the day, the time that work best for you and one of our three clinics, Linwood, Tacoma, or Kirkland. You can do any of those things. LMClinic.com is where you go. We want to get you signed up. We want to get you on your way to being
stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and of course, happier.
Yes, that number again is 866-86-YOUNG. All right, back to the phones. Let's see here. We have, let's go to Jeremy calling from Everett. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Yuma. I was just, my wife and I are longtime patients at the Linwood Clinic, and I'm wondering, hoping if maybe you're aware of a resource, something better than your basic internet search for selecting a primary care physician. You know, you talk a lot about how, you know, doctors are like anyone else. There's some good ones and bad ones, and most are just in the middle. I'd like to select a good one if I could. I don't have a primary care physician, but I want to start, you know, doing annual physicals and the preventative screens. And so, you know, I'd like to find one that's good. And it also kind of works, a little more in conjunction with our program at Longevity. My wife's doctor, initially was, it felt like opposition to, you know, I mean, he literally told us that everything we were doing at Longevity was just snake oil and it's a waste of time. And we've kind of brought him over to our side over the years, but I'd rather not have to do that if possible.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Oh. Wow. What do you look for in a primary doc when
you're
shopping?
That's a very tough one. Are you restricted by insurance at all, or not really?
No. I never really go to the doctor. But like I said, I want to start. You know, I mean, I'm 55 now. Okay. I want to start at least doing the, you know, colorectal and all of that stuff.
Yes, very important.
Yes, it is. All right, yeah, and unfortunately, you've asked me one of the most difficult questions that I encounter. You know, back when I was a country doctor, I knew the other people in my field, and but for the last 25 years, this is all I've done, and I have very little contact with the guys in primary care anymore.
Did you ask our clinic to give you the list that we come up with of physicians that are friendly to Longevity?
Yeah, I mean that would be a good start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that at least tells you who is supportive. It doesn't tell you.
So every few years, we ask our patients to give us names of their providers that are friendly towards us. And about a year or two ago, we created a new list, and it has some specialists and it has some primary care providers. But I don't know if it captures many people in the Linwood area. But that might be a good way to start. So you can ask Tyler in the Linwood Clinic to print you a copy of that list and to give you one, and that you can start there.
Okay. And then in terms of the other part of it, rating those on that list in terms of sort of, you know, proficiency. And
That one is tougher. You know what?
Yeah.
About the only thing we really have to go by is whether or not they're board certified in their field.
Right.
Which tells you they've at least been through the formal training classes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, things like Yelp and stuff will rate them as patient happiness and satisfaction.
Right.
Unfortunately, that just tells you they have a good bedside manner and they're friendly. It doesn't tell you that they're competent.
We do see a lot of patients come to us from the Everett Clinic. Not one particular provider, but the Everett Clinic has multiple medical providers and primary care providers. I do tend to see several patients that belong to that practice.
That's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It would at least be good to have that list. So that's great. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Take care, good luck, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
That's right. So many times you have mentioned it's very important to have a primary care.
It really is.
Yeah.
You need somebody that's, you know, they're watching over what the specialists are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because too often, back in my country doctor days, I'd see people come in with the same prescription from three different doctors.
Oh, boy.
But they were under different names. There's different brand names for the same thing.
Wow. Oh, boy.
And so the total dose would be way too high.
Sure.
Because each doctor would give them a different brand of the same stuff.
Right. So, you know, he's brought up something very important, which is real, and that is a physician shortage. So COVID did something unusual in that where previously it wasn't hard to get in to see a doctor in the United States. In Canada, you have long wait times and lists. Here, it wasn't a problem. Now we're seeing a huge problem.
Yeah. Well, and the problem we're seeing with primary care physicians, too, is that primary care doctors are the lowest paid doctors in the system. And so fewer and fewer young medical students graduating are choosing primary care because they can make two, three, four times as much with a subspecialty, and they treat fewer diseases with better reimbursement.
And they see fewer patients.
Yeah.
Yes.
So who wants to slave away the longest hours with the widest variety of problems you have to learn to solve for the least pay?
And the problem is that, you know, a lot of times they have to end up sending their patients out to another specialist anyways. And so it becomes complicated for them.
Well, and in some multi-specialty clinics, they have basically reduced the primary care doctor to a referral service.
Oh, okay.
You know, to the specialist where they can charge more. You know, because the same EKG done by the subspecialty cardiologist will cost you three times what it costs you if your primary care doctor does the same EKG.
Yes. Things to keep in mind. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and here is the number to get through, 800-465-8770. We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with your call, Steve, and Leroy, your call as well. Stay right there, and if you'd like to get through, phone lines are open, 800-465-8770. Oh boy, Billy Ray Cyrus. I remember meeting him at Fred Meyer in Bellevue many, many, many,
really?
Many years ago when he was just starting. He had his mullet. He was so tall, so handsome, and Icky Breaky was a song he had just released. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
Icky Breaky Heart. Wow. Brings back some memories. You always remember with music where you were, what, you know, when you first heard something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Oh, he's cute. Oh, boy. We are back with Leading Edge.
Look on her eye, in her eyes.
I love that.
Warm in here? Okay. Or is it just me? Okay. So we are back with Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here. Dr. Samira Umat. I'm Lynette. And we have, let's see. Let's talk to Steve. We're going to go to Steilacoom right now and talk with Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Hello, Steve in Steilacoom.
Good morning. I just want you to know that I've been here for 3 years about, and, you know, I didn't have the money to do this, but I was thinking, I got to give it a chance. Maybe I'll feel better or whatever. And I'm telling, and so I was thinking that I could feel better, and then I could get an extra job or something to pay for it. Oh, my gosh, that has been such an underestimate. I've overexceeded that. I started my own business. It's like, I'm so happy. I mean, it's amazing. It's just amazing. I'll never not do it. So I'm just, there's that.
So, well, thank you, Steve. I greatly appreciate
that. Yes.
Kudos. That's incredible. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah. What kind of business did you start, Steve?
So I do a handyman business, and you know, it's like I so that's what I do, and I'm just happy as I could be. I mean, I meet all kinds of new people all the time, I can't believe it took me this long to do this. I feel great. I feel like I'm in my late 20s, early 30s. It's like literally like that. It just kept getting better and better and better. It was amazing after the first month. But it just kept getting better and better and better. And now it's like I can run fast, I can jump hard, I can play hard, I can do all of those things now.
So you would say you are faster.
When I get off the couch?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Faster?
In fact, I'm about as fast as I was because I remembered my mile time, and I was, I'm in my late 50s, and my mile time is the same as it was when I was in my early 30s.
That's awesome.
Good for you.
That's great.
There you go. I think he's doing all the things. Faster, stronger, leaner, smarter.
We
How about
to ask
sexier?
Women in his life about sexy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The sad part is I tell everybody about it, and most people don't even do it. I even paid for the blood test for a couple of people because I believe in it that much. And
wow.
But then it just goes nowhere. They don't do it. It's like, what? I guess it's just timing, I suppose.
Well, is that, but you know, people adjust to their quote new normal.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the point that, well, yeah, I can't really pick things up off the floor anymore, but you know, that's just part of getting old. And I don't feel like running, but I can walk.
Yeah.
And, people, they adjust to a lower level of expectations for themselves physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so sad. I really do.
It doesn't have to be that way.
No, it does not. You know, I go on vacations and I see people walking down the streets and the boardwalks, and I got to tell you, it's so frustrating. I look at people and I think, I can help that guy.
Yeah.
That guy really needs us. This person, and I know they'll never come. You know, they're just going to slowly get slower, weaker, fatter, dumber, sexless, and fade off into oblivion when they don't have to.
No, no.
And it is sad.
Right.
That,
right.
But,
but I do have a question that there's one thing that it hasn't helped me, and I just don't know what it is. I'm not sure how to ask the question, but here's the shot.
There it is.
If you close your eye, if you're walking and you close your eyes and then you see kind of, and you kind of step in a small little hole, you know, you do that because you can't see it. Well, I do that with my eyes open. Unless I'm looking at the ground, I'm fine. But if I'm just kind of like, oh, I got to go over there and get this tool or this tool, if I'm not looking at the ground, I step in like holes, almost like my brain forgets there's a hole there or something. Mm-hmm. This has been before longevity, and it's maybe even slightly got a little worse and stuff. But when I'm running and playing hard, it doesn't exist. Only when I'm casually walking is when this happens. And you know, I see older people when they're going to the grocery store, they kind of doing the same thing because I could just see it. You know, and it's like, is that what's going to happen to me?
And they're kind of oblivious to their surroundings.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, when he was describing it, I was thinking maybe peripheral neuropathy because he's not feeling it or sensing it, but then he's saying that he doesn't notice it when he's running.
Yeah. Well, and
not there when I'm playing hard.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, peripheral neuropathy would be if he was getting altered sensation in his feet.
Oh, he was not feeling it at all, Jerry.
Yeah.
So are you pre-diabetic, sir?
Not feeling anything.
Yeah.
No. Okay. 5.3 on for a
A1C. All right. 5.3 is good. Now, when you say you're not feeling it, though, have you lost sensation in your feet and toes if you reach down and touch them lightly?
No, that's all just fine. It's like a depth perception is what, as best I can describe it, because it's like, so I know this, and so sometimes, like, you know, when I do it and I can't look down, I walk with a toe down first so I don't pound my heel on the ground because it's like, walking on grass that's uneven. Uh-huh. It's like, so that, it's kind of weird, but, you know, that's what I do now, but there's got to be something, I wish I could figure a way to figure out what this is, and maybe there's something I could do.
Well, you know, and it sounds almost like there's a decrease in proprioception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have sensors in all of our joints and skin surfaces that let us know where our hands and feet are without looking at them. And as we age, those proprioceptors become less and less sensitive. And so we start losing track, and we do have to look to see where things are, because we don't have that innate sense of balance and coordination with them anymore. And I'm not aware of a particular cure. The only thing I can think of right offhand is to increase your balance awareness. Have you ever tried to do the stork test, where you stand on one foot, you know, say stand on your left foot and put your right foot up by your left knee and just stand there on one leg?
Yeah, I've done that, but not recently. And I, you know, you pick up a bottle from one side, you rotate to the left and set it down on standing on one foot, you know,
What I'm thinking is that sort of practice helps cause your brain to pay more attention to the proprioceptors, to the balance mechanisms.
Oh. Gotcha.
So, you know, doing that with both feet, and then try it when you're standing. When you can stand for a minute or so on each leg, just with that one leg and the other foot up by your knee, then try to do it and shut your eyes and see how long it takes before you lose your balance.
Stand close to a table or an object so that you can
touch. Or a wall so you can grab it.
So you can grab it.
Because even just touching something will let your brain know where upright is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really even have to hold on. Okay. You just have to be able to touch it. But if you lose that visual sense so that you're totally dependent on the feedback from your extremities to your brain, is a key thing to try to develop. And you'll discover when you first shut your eyes, most people, it's a second or two and they're on their way. They have to put their foot down.
I know.
But if you develop that long enough, you'll get to the point that you don't even need your eyes to maintain your balance.
Practice. Wow. You have to practice at it.
It takes time.
Yeah,
and it's inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap, easy, and reasonably effective.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Thanks for doing what you guys are doing. You really, really, really have changed my life. There's just no doubt about it. I keep reverting back to what you used to always say. You want to have a car payment, or you want to, like, you know, have a payment on yourself or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
That is a good analogy.
Yeah, which is more important to you, your car or your body? You know?
Steve, before you go...
I'm just saying that if...
Would you give your full name and the clinic to the engineer? I just want to kind of take a look at, want to see if his micronutrient was ever done.
That's a good idea, yeah. So Dr. Umat's going to take a look at your chart and see if she can come up with something additional to help you.
Okay, they did do that, but I don't know any of the numbers, but they did do that. So, but yes, I will do that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much,
and
Steve.
And Mr. Engineer, don't let him get away. Get his name and clinic for us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very helpful. All right. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and we welcome your call, too, at 800-465-8770. Headed to Covington now, we have Leroy on the line. Hi, Leroy.
Hello, Leroy.
Good morning. I'm a big fan of Dr. Dale Bredesen's book, and I know that you have a memory program that uses his protocols. And I have a dear friend, female about 65, who I think would be an excellent candidate. But how would you suggest to convince them or her daughter, to bring her in?
Oh, my goodness. That is the $65,000 question.
She was a bus driver, and they finally forced her to stop because she forgot her route.
Oh, no.
And, that's bad. Yeah.
Based on reading his book and other things, I think there are benefits to be had.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously difficult to convince someone who has some mild cognitive impairment or their caregiver, the daughter in this case, you have any steps that one could take to kind of suggest it? Or?
Okay. Well, yeah. Let's talk about that for just a little bit. First of all, there's MCI, minimal cognitive impairment. Now, that is not dementia. That, in fact, is a normal process of aging. Most people, as they get older, start losing some of their cognitive skills. In fact, there are nomograms that say, you know, men and women lose different parts of their cognition at different rates, just because we're kind of different critters. And you can actually do the testing to see where you are compared to other people of your age and gender. But women tend to go downhill faster after menopause. And part of that is because their testosterone, which is spatial orientation, where you are in the world around you, is a testosterone function to large measure. That's why young men don't need to ask directions. Mm-hmm. Old men, because they're used to knowing where they are, and they suddenly won't come to grips with the fact that because of their lower testosterone, they now can't do what they did when they're young. Mm-hmm. They don't want to ask for directions. Mm. So old guys get lost. Women start off with a much smaller testosterone load. And so when they lose it around menopause, their spatial orientation goes downhill much faster than a man's. Mm. And so the fact that she would forget her bus route is a female issue. But it's also worrisome because that is one of the earliest signs of actual dementia, not MCI.
Especially because you've been doing that same route over and over and
that's
over.
That's right. That should be in long-term memory, and long-term memory is the last thing to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so if she's now losing a long-term memory, that's very worrisome. Now we may now be into early dementia as opposed to MCI. There's a variety of hormones and supplements that provide some improvement. But the single biggest and most important thing in all of Bredesen's people was their exercise program. It turns out that physical exercise, the myokines produced by contracting under load muscle, produce brain-derived neurotrophic factors, which are things that actually help you to grow new brain tissue and repair damaged and lost tissue. So the people in his program who did the best were the ones who had the most aggressive and reliable exercise programs.
Right.
The other thing that to think about is a characteristic of early dementia is denial. One of the things that you can almost guarantee is that in early dementia, the person that's losing it will be absolutely convinced that they're fine and the people around them are plotting against them.
Oh.
You know, it's, I'm not crazy, you are. Why are you accusing me of this when it's your problem, sort of thing? And that makes it really hard to bring them in because it's a part of the disease. They adamantly refuse to accept the fact that they need help.
Yeah. I also want to say, you know, where Dr. Mixon has met with Dr. Bredesen and we are aware of the protocol, we don't do the weekly phone calls anymore. So, you know, we just kind of have our physicians follow with you, but we found that the weekly phone calls were a failure.
Yeah.
Our patients did not respond well to that. They felt we were intruding too much into their lives. Mm-hmm. And so we had to back off.
Yeah. Which is too bad because accountability is probably one of the most important things. Checking every week to see, are you doing your exercise? Are you taking your medications? Are you doing your supplements? But when we called them every week, people got upset.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Just kind of too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we still have the anti-inflammatory books and for diet and all that, we can still help, but we don't do a weekly call back to check in on you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And actually, the stuff that I just had the two ladies here try this morning is a new compound that I'm putting together that is specifically designed to improve age-related cognitive
decline. I mean, aren't all the listeners hearing how brilliant we are today?
Right? I feel so much smarter. Kind of like the Scarecrow and Wizard of Oz.
Well, you know, the
square root of I. No.
the two active ingredients in it, one of them actually showed improvement in the first 6 weeks. The other one took 3 months. But yeah.
So I'm not that brilliant yet? Is that what you're saying?
You started off brilliant.
So. That's right. But by Christmas, watch out. That's right. Hey, we have to take a quick break.
You're going to have trouble controlling this woman.
That's right. Leroy, would you stay there? We're going to be right back after this short break. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. Hour number two on the way.